Ready to go, Amber? All right, good. Welcome. Let's call this regular session of Humble Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District's meeting to order at 6 p.m. with roll call.
Commissioner Higgins.
I'm here.
Commissioner Benson.
Present.
Commissioner Coleman.
Present.
Commissioner Newman.
Here.
And President Dale.
Here.
Todd, would you lead us in the pledge?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. This portion of the agenda, we ask for public comment on items not on our agenda this evening. If you have something you wish to add to our meeting, please step to the microphone and speak to us about things not on the agenda. Hi, Vivian.
Hi. Just a quick comment. I haven't been to this meeting in a long time. And when I used to come here, there was a photographer and you guys would post your meetings on Access Humboldt. Are you still doing that?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yeah. Yep.
Great. And it would help public participation too. If you could meet in a place where you could have Zoom participation like many, many other public meetings do. It's a little hard for people. Come out after dinner, drive after dark and rainy. We want to encourage public participation. Thank you very much.
We do have a Zoom address, right?
We broadcast over Zoom. We're not currently taking public comment over Zoom. But we will be bringing that forward in our business matters in January.
Great, thank you. Right, but if they get a Harbor District agenda, they can be part of, they can audit via Zoom too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else care to comment on items not on the agenda?
Hi, Kimberly Rich from Eureka in Mad River Slough Shellfish Nursery. I stood before you a couple years ago asking for a permit, and I'm excited to report that yesterday we were approved by the Coastal Commission. So we're done. Every other agency has approved us and given us permits, so they were the last one. So I signed my name today. So thank you very much for your support, and here we go.
Hey, good luck. Thank you. Anyone else care to speak on items not on our agenda? Seeing that, I'm going to move forward to item 8, consent calendar.
So move.
I'll second. Can we approve the consent calendar?
I have a motion and a second. Anything anybody would like to discuss further? Then I'm going to call the question. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. All right. Christopher, number 9, communication reports and correspondence received.
None at this time.
No correspondence. You want to do your report?
I'm ready.
Do it. Our little friend.
He has much bigger antlers now. In fact, I think they'll be shedding any time, but no photographs tonight. So just a few things to report. One of the things that I'm really enjoying is I've commenced recurring monthly meetings with the executive director of PCSGA, or Pacific Coast Shellfish Growers Association. The purpose in those meetings is just to talk about activities that are happening on the West Coast, the ties that Humboldt Bay has to the shellfish industry as a whole, and really advocacy and what we can do. Margaret's been absolutely amazing to work with. I'm glad to have her back as part of PCSGA. Sends her love to our shellfish growers. Missed the meeting last week, but can't be in all places at all times, but it's a good professional growth opportunity for me, good listening and learning, and also a good opportunity for us to share some of the great things that are happening around Humboldt Bay. So I'm really enjoying those meetings. meeting with the Timber Heritage Association occurred. Obviously, we gifted land to them, but we have a lot of ongoing land management. They're taking care of one of the sites that is our land that will be used for mitigation in the future. But right now, they're using it for parking when they have large events and also keeping the vegetation managed. They also have an interest in our further development as our heavy lift marine terminal develops. One of the topics of conversation was, are they a suitable site for the 1091? Because that is something that it continues to be, you know, out there. And so just ongoing conversations, that happens quarterly, and I was asked to report back when they occurred. Presented at the Seaweed Festival, went out to Cal Poly Humboldt the Friday of the Seaweed Festival. That was, what, the 18th, I believe, of October, and spoke at a workshop on economics of seaweed, shellfish too, but it's really focused on seaweed farming. That was a lot of fun. Did a tour of district projects with Professor Lori Richmond at Cal Poly Humboldt and her class. Larry's done these, Rob's done these, Adam's done these. I'm now getting involved in doing some of those classes. But that was interesting. And I was excited to do it. Questions were very simple. And then a couple came out that were really complex, multi-part questions. And that was fun. And, you know, it's neat. I felt good that I was able to answer them. It was an exciting class, and these are future planners. As a developer, planners aren't my best friend, you know, but in this world, planners are my best friend, right? So it's a different, it's good professional growth for this guy. Site visit on Humboldt Bay with Tori White. She is the chief of operations and regulatory. Rob and I met with her and Casey here in the office, and then went on a little boat tour. Really want to comment on the remarkable relationships that we've been able to foster with the U.S. Army Corps. It's fantastic, frankly. Mike and I are working with them on a project. Rob and I are working with them on a multitude of different projects. We're also doing some advocacy with for nearshore replacement. We have the potential to use dredge spoils for our outflow line in the coming future. So it was very positive to have her here and continue to grow that rapport. We were invited. I went a week ago Saturday. I was invited to participate in the 1 million pound milestone with Packout Green Team. You all know I love trash. I'm real big on picking up trash. It's kind of my jam. And so some of our biggest advocates said, hey, you got to come join us. We're going past 1 million pounds. And so shout out to Packout Green Team. They've been a great service to the Harbor District.
For the county.
Well, yeah. So taking it a step further, I mean, they're the real deal. And, you know, Aaron is, it's only growing. And the cool thing about going these, you know, Saturday morning, it's an hour and a half, you're always meeting new friends, new toddlers. I mean, it's a pretty groovy jam. When you get a little more seasoned, you get to go in and talk to some of the folks that are camping. Their life might not be right where they want it to be, but some good folks out there, and we're also able to do a good service to them and provide a little bit of sunshine in their world. So just congratulations to Packout Green Team. We're very grateful for them. You passed a resolution to them 2 years ago and made a sizable contribution. So thank you for that. We had the California Association of Port Authorities annual meeting this past Friday. CAPA, Association of Port Authorities, is really where we talk about governance, government relations, lobbying, and where we have our FMC agreement for California West Coast ports. And finally, I was invited to attend the return of Wiat Ancestral Lands yesterday. It was a really nice ceremony to be a part of. There was a lot of cultural dance and song. And so I'm happy to see that went, and want to recognize that Friends of the Dunes, California Coastal Conservancy, and the Harbor District, you know, worked pretty tirelessly on this project. And I'm happy to see where we're at with it now and what it's returned to, and recognized our predecessor, Larry Ocker, who put a great deal of work into this. And I know you did as a board as well. So it's my report.
Thank you. Well said. Staff reports, Rob?
Couple of small updates. So Nordic, all of their permits are in as of today, except for the incidental take permit with California Department of Fish and Wildlife, which is due to us on December 14th or sooner. So that's great news. The mitigation design is underway for phase one withdrawal. So things are going well for Nordic. And just be aware that the county is working on a Humboldt Bay Trail project from Eureka to College of the Redwoods. So I'm on an advisory committee for that, and they'll be releasing a report in the next couple of months. And I've asked Hank to come present for the board. So he'll be sharing what their plans are. Awesome. That's it for me.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, Mayor Perry took Greg and I down to our property at Fields Landing, and he said, this is the best view of Humboldt Bay on the wild side, and he recommended that that trail go right near the water as part of shoreline kind of armoring, and Larry Otker thought it should be over in the bushes on the railroad track. I favor the bay side. Maybe more difficult in terms of permitting, but it's world class. The view of the South Bay and the wetlands and the whole marsh complex that they're restoring, and this multimodal transport so kids from Eureka can get on a bike and go to CR. And then I'm hoping to incite the Lower Yale River Salmon Parkway Committee so that they come backwards from Fortuna and gets kids from there to CR. And then we'll have a multimodal transport system and everybody from Reading is going to want to come over and pedal in the fog. So that's... But I mean, thank you for your work on that, because it's really important. And it's good to see us kind of keeping the momentum up as we finish the Bay Trail from Arcata to Eureka. You know, just stay the course. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Pat. That's you, Mike.
Okay, a lot going on this past month. So paved the Manila parking lot. I got some photos a little bit here showing that. That was a big success. Been working on that for a while. Fields Landing Boat Yard, kind of getting ready for the wet season. So we did complete a design for our stormwater treatment system. So we just completed that. So now it's just, you know, funding. And then we installed some metal absorbent socks, again, just to help limit any pollutants going into the bay. RMT to ocean outfall. We're going to be meeting with the California Coastal Commission this month. Again, talking about long-term stabilization. We've been hearing about the beach nourishment. So just kind of talking about, meet with them and talk about long-term planning for that and what's going to be required. And then a follow-up to that, then we'll start working with permitting with us, California State Lands Commission as well, for the emergency and the long-term stabilization. And then finally, with Nordic Aqua Farms, at RMT2, we destroyed 19 groundwater marring wells and 10 soil vapor marring wells. And this is all part of preparing for the Nordic project and the demolition activity. So those were kind of in the way of that. But if you want, we can go to the next slide and show some pictures. So these were taken yesterday while it was raining. So it was nice to see the concrete channel drain in the middle there, who's performing well. Beyond, you can buy the building there. Actually, that's going to be an LID feature. It just hasn't been completed yet. Go next slide. Our ADA parking, and then there's just a close-up of where the parking lot drainage is going to go, and we still got to get our planting and all that in for our low impact development feature for a little bit of stormwater treatment. And then just real quick, you can kind of see that shaded outline is where the, again, proposed potential Nordic buildings may go, and the kind of the lettering in the circles are where the wells that were destroyed. The wells to the east side, we're still leaving some of those in. We still have some monitoring going on there, but the bulk of the wells were removed, were destroyed. That's my report. Any questions? Okay.
Sorry, one question. Can you go back to this slide? It's a Fields Landing site. I'm just curious about,
That's not Fields Landing.
We don't have a slide.
Yeah, there's not a slide. It's just a list. The stormwater treatment design was completed at the end of October. When is construction expected, or when do we expect to see that implemented?
I'll defer to the funding on
this
that.
This is finance oriented. So in the budget this year, we had about $150,000 right. budgeted. A large portion of that has gone to the studies and design necessary. And so in our mid-year budget adjustment, we will report back the remainder of that mm-hmm. and decide whether we can commence with it immediately over a 24-25 project. So we'd have it in the 24 budget and then again in the 25 budget. Or 25-26, and so we'll make that determination in January. The goal is to proceed, though. That's been our goal all along. You'll remember that.
Get this done. It's languished long enough, yeah.
So you'll remember that the first action I took as executive director was to come and bring this to the board and ask for authorization to proceed. Yeah. So we've just completed that work. Now we have to assemble the funding necessary in order to do it. So we do have remainder funds, thank goodness. And so the ultimate outcome would be that we were able to fund it with the remaining funds of the second half of the 24 budget, the 23-24 okay. budget. And then can you imagine we're halfway through the year already, the fiscal year, and then run right into 25-26. And so signs point to that now, but that'll be approached in the mid-year budget in January.
Do we have an estimate on the cost of that?
We do. I don't have it right in front of me, but we do have an estimated cost for that.
That might be something to get to the board.
Again, we'll be bringing this forward.
Okay.
That's good news. Thank you.
Yep.
So if I could take you to permitting fantasy land just for a moment, would it help to keep the outfall covered if we could pump sediment from Humboldt Bay onto the beach there?
So now we're switching from Fields Landing to the outfall, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the outfall... we're starved, according to USGS studies, north of the jetty. So part of the beach erosion is because it's starved as a cell. And so I guess I'm asking you a very simple question, not a political one or a permit one. If you blew the sand from the marinas out across the dunes where the outfall is, would that help to keep the outfall covered?
Yeah. And so, again, we're...
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I think.
More to follow. I wasn't setting you up, brother.
Thanks, Mike. we skipped over the district council's report. You have nothing to report. I skipped over your closed session report as well.
Same.
And you didn't chastise me for that.
No, as long as you have nothing to report.
Okay.
There's nothing to report.
We checked in on you. We discussed it.
Okay. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I said during lunch coming from Ryan, so I figured that was interesting. So the district planner's report.
All right. Thanks. I'm Vanessa Blodgett, the contract district planner. So I am continuing to process Harbor District permit applications, work with the applicants and applicants' representatives and district staff to review applications, conduct analysis, prepare staff reports and other materials for that. So we are currently processing a couple permits. One is on the agenda later for a Spartina eradication plan. And then these other ones are going to be coming to you in the future at various stages. And then ongoing coordination with district staff as well for some of the subtitle mariculture permits and coordination, existing billboard review, and then the Humboldt Bay Offshore Wind Heavy List Marine Terminal project support for some of the grants and community meetings. So, any questions? All right.
Thank you for your continuing dedicated service.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you very much. Commissioner reports. I'm going to start on this end of the table. Commissioner Newman.
Well, Dungeness crab season is on recreationally and is in the works for commercial. They have found some dimoic acid in crabs. Occurs every once in a while. So far, there's been some crabs from Klamath River that were over the 30 parts per million that they have to be in a 6 crab test to ensure that the crabs are safe. They're continuing to do tests on those. Once the dimoic acid is cleaned up and they get 2 clean test scenarios where it was found, they will do a quality test. And at this point, I think the commercial season could open as early as December 15th. And that would be dependent on whether or not there were whales still in the area. So a lot of issues around that. Otherwise, I did participate with Packout Green Team last Saturday under the small bridge. And that's an awesome outfit. And the community is really lucky to have it going on. So that's it for me.
Thanks.
I have nothing to report tonight.
Nada. Mr. Benson.
Yeah, I was appointed to the CAB, the Community Advisory Group for the fifth climate change assessment for the state of California for the northwest part of California, which extends all the way to the northeast. So it's five counties. And so I'll be talking about that from time to time here, looking at, you know, vulnerability assessments for all kinds of multi-hazard mitigation, including a lot of vulnerabilities on the bay. So I may be bending some of your ears over the next couple years. It's going to take to get this thing completed, but part of my time each month is going to go to that for the next couple years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I think
is that a county or is that a state thing?
It's a state. But our local group is being piloted out of Cal Poly Hunter.
Very good. Okay, you're on, Commissioner Higgins.
Well, I think it's my last commissioner's report, but we'll have a small parade for me later in the meeting, so I won't digress on that. I have recently completed 40 months and 21 permits on three different projects, and although it was very stressful during that period, I've come out the backside, and there's going to be Wildlife Conservation Board funded project that will be administered by the Salmonid Restoration Federation for a 4 million gallon pond for the Slow Food Farm Organics or Irene's Organic Produce at the Black Oak Ranch, and 800,000 gallons in storage so that the kids at Camp Winter Rainbow can learn about art and nature, and the steelhead in the creek will have water. Because Black Oak Ranch would be able to forbear in a creek that's known to be a refugia for steelhead, and that's north of 2.5 mil. And you know what the best part of that is? Uncle Pat doesn't have to do it. Somebody else is picking it up. You'll follow a common thread where the Mendocino County Resource Conservation District is picking up meadow restoration on the Vassar property and improving the pipes and restoring a stream bank area, because it's immediately adjacent to where two more days of rain and fall Chinook will be everywhere there. So you got to keep the sediment out of the creek. And then the earth flow that has the meadow, it's got gullies from when they had too many sheep on it like 100 years ago. But if we take the wood from forest health and we create stair steps in the gullies, the dirt builds up, the sediment stops evolving into the creek, and then you rebuild a water table and you can bring back native grasses and plants. And so that's going to be a project that's around $1 million. That'll be done by the Mendocino County Resource Conservation District with funding from the Coastal Conservancy, and they're lining up Caltrans because they put a lot of dirt into the South Fork. And then the oddest good news I got was that the California Department of Fish and Wildlife Cannabis Remediation Fund wants to fund a bioengineering project in Covelo that I have plan and permit under Department of Water Resources Urban Streams Restoration Program grant, which I would never recommend any other nonprofit to pursue. And the cannabis remediation grant is going to be like north of 600K. It's going to build this amazing thing to keep the creek from going into the town of Covelo. It involves the schools in job training and maintenance and monitoring. And there's a wonderful opportunity for the Round Valley County Water District there to really expand its capacity in an area that's otherwise kind of like very short on county government services. It's a long way from Ukiah to Covelo, maybe further than the crow flies. So I'm really proud that the work that we did and all the work our consultants did to get these permits is now coming to fruition, because I was really concerned that it would be a number of projects where we get permits, but maybe not implement it. And so now everything that we have gotten the permits for, and there's one other thing, and that is building a bioengineering, three bioengineering projects on 10 Mile Creek, Streeter, and Cotto, actually. And these were originally contracted with Bioengineering Associates, but Evan Engber, the principal, has now left us, and Hugh McGee with Native Ecosystems Incorporated will be planting thousands and thousands of willows. One of the sites is within walking distance of the Laytonville Elementary School. We're enlisting high school students and restoring the riparian zone across from these projects where we're taking out blackberry and we're going to put in native trees and plants. And so, you know, from Uncle Pat's perspective, it's pretty dark politically out there right now, but I feel like I'm in a tunnel of light. You know, it's just like I'm in the eel. I'm helping people on the ground. Oh, and our forest health project. So I do a lot of work in the gym because I want to be around for 3/31/2028 when my forest health project will finally be done. It's $5.9 million, and there's a lot of jobs being created and work in the woods to restore harmony on the landscape in the tradition of the Cotto, traditional ecological knowledge, returning the good fire. We're going to burn 900 acres and thereby make the landscape capable of sustaining fire going forward without a bunch of thinning. So we're building enthusiasm from a volunteer corps where they come out and help us do the burns in this project. And then we hope to build that into the community because if we don't stay with stewardship and we don't use fire to manage the landscape, we will ride the tiger. I have said so. But I feel really lucky. We are helping with work on the Cotto Rancheria, and that work is being done by Cotto tribal members through hybrid indigenous stewardship. And so I think that 10 Mile Creek, everybody thinks it's the 10 Mile River, but when you're going by Laytonville there, that's 10 Mile Creek. And you see it just briefly on Highway 101. And it is one of the sweetest spots for organizing I could have ever landed in. So it's a good place for, you know, there's an office in Laytonville for the recovery project. And we're kind of rooted there and in Covelo and in the motor service. And so I won't be bored when I step down from the Harbor District. I'll have plenty to do. And I'm inspired by the community energy there. And so it's a, oh, yeah. And there's probably 20 or 30,000 Chinook salmon running around in the eel right now. They counted 2,300 as of a week ago Friday. A week ago tomorrow. And that was just above Myers Flat in the South Fork. And so the Van Dusen is loaded with them, the main eel. So it's like good ocean conditions. Unfortunately, restricted salmon fishing, but it pays off in this regard. Good recruitment of the juveniles, even though they got stuck spawning in the main stem, then they got enough water to get out by the pike minnow. Then the ocean upwelling was good. Last year's jack recruitment was good. That means like we're going to have a strong brood from last year's jack run if the ocean conditions stay good. And then that piggybacks because it sounds like there's a lot of jacks in the system this year, which means two good years of recruitment, which means if the ocean stays good, that's like 5 years bucks up for like eel river salmon in the ocean. So I went on way too long. Thank you for the license.
Thank you for the information.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah. And somebody else is going to have to take up the salmon report from now on. Just so
we're clear. I can come in once in a while.
I don't have a whole lot.
You let me run movies again, I'll come back.
I got my pick.
Larry stopped me from running movies.
I haven't got my movie from me yet, but I do have a question, Patrick. Evulsing. I'm not familiar with that word.
Which one?
Evulsing.
Evulsing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that means like, and so that's what the eel does.
That's it.
When you go like 300,000 cubic feet per second and above, it basically pumps like a big old conveyor belt. And you know what I promised you, Greg, and I didn't get you, was like pretty graphs of like when it rained and when the flow happened and then when we had to dredge. And so I'm going to come back and do that.
Okay.
Not from, you know, just kind of, you give me 10 minutes and then you can ask me questions all day.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. We're going to get to you soon enough. All right. So we are done with nine. We're going to move on to unfinished business and receive a status update regarding the offshore wind heavy lift marine terminal project.
All right. This month, I decided to focus just kind of looking backwards and looking at money. So I created this little graph here. So on the left, you've got years going back to 2020. And this heavy lift marine terminal project kind of started with a Headwaters Fund grant late 2020 into 2021. So each one of these bars shows you how long the money lasted. So that was a pretty small grant. Then it wasn't until 2022 that we started spending district funds directly and state lands commission grant. And all of these boxes are color coded. So green is state money, blue is local money. Well, we spent that money pretty quickly using it as match, both of those, to our big CEC grant. So that's the $10 million CEC grant. So we started spending that in mid-2022. Used that as matching funds to get a PEIP grant, which we just initiated. And also used that CEC grant to get the infra grant. And since the CEC grant is a match to those, that'll go well into the future towards construction. Later in the agenda tonight, I'll tell you about a CEC grant that we're applying for right now, which we'll be using as a match to the PEIP grant. So dashed lines are speculative. Off to the side, disconnected from all of these, there's a number of EPA grants. I don't know when they started or when they'll end, but that's kind of happening on the side associated with this project. There's also a California bond that just passed that we will definitely qualify for. And if we receive any money from that, we will use it as a match to the infra grant. Then there'll be private financing that'll come online at some point, don't know when exactly. And that will go as a match to the infra grant. And then we're keeping our eye on what's called the RISE Act, which is another good opportunity for funding in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So we're here right now in time. So if we just turn off the past and look to the future, as complicated as things have been, and as wild as the ride has been up to this point, it's about to get far more complex. There are now multiple grants, all concurrently active, all of whom have relationships to one another with a lot more money on the table. So we are just now initiating. It feels like we're just getting started, but the next 12 months are going to be pretty ferocious. And then every one of those grants goes to different kinds of activities. So yellow are soft costs like engineering and planning and permitting. Purple are construction hard costs. Each one of those grants has a different relationship to all of those things. I'm not going to break that down. I actually did that once for you about a year ago. Ongoing activities, we're continuing to meet with tribal governments, continuing to meet with residents of the town of Samoa. I'm now meeting with a group of residents of the town of Samoa monthly. Continue to meet with aquaculture businesses. It's just about every other month, but I think we'll be back to every month again. That's, as far as I know, every aquaculture business in the Bay. Presented to the North Coast Indian Development Council, which is a coalition of local tribes. So that was really productive. Ongoing participation with the Port of Long Beach. They've asked us to participate in their meetings with BOEM and the U.S. Army Corps and their NEPA process and CEQA as well. And then we have a multi-agency mitigation committee and we're in regular communication with them. Some upcoming activities. We have a Bay-wide strategic plan as part of the PDIP grant. So that is looking 20, 30 years into the future of what could happen with offshore wind throughout the entire Bay. So that is a big side project and that's really just getting kicked off. So a lot more to come about that. Sampling analysis plan and dredging for the terminal berths is a big step that's coming up. You'll hear more about that and geotech as well. Navigational assessments of what the tow out looks like. So we'll have some computer 3D models and videos that you'll be able to see in the coming months.
Community Advisory Committee meeting in January. I think we should be looking to another general public meeting, maybe this time in Arcata, in December or January. And we'll be releasing an RFQ for CEQA legal review services relatively soon. And we're going to have to revise our schedule. We had a little bit of a dip in the project activity for a minute there. So maybe the next meeting or the meeting after, we'll have a detailed presentation about the schedule. And I did a rough calculation the other day and just was thinking about the grant funds that we have and the amount of money that we're spending right now. With our active grants, we have roughly 22 full-time equivalent employees working on this project. In reality, given that they're consultants, there's very few people that are actually literally full-time on the project alone. There are a couple that are just about there. So what that really means is we have the equivalent of 22 full-time equivalent employees, but we have over 75 technical experts that are actively working on various aspects of this project on a daily basis. And in the coming months, we're going to be inviting various technical experts to present in these presentations instead of just me talking. So relatively soon, you'll see a lot more detail on technical components from our consulting team. And that is my monthly report.
Thanks, Rob. Any questions for Rob?
Yeah, thank you, Rob. It's always great to get. I'm really glad we put it to have this update every month because there's just so much going on with this project. Even if we hear some of the same things three times, it's worth it to hear it three times because there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle. So thank you, Rob. The Community Advisory Committee membership, has that been finalized now? And has everyone said yes? And
I've got the yes, 75% yes.
Maybe next time you could just give us an update on who those, what's the makeup of that, of the CAC. It'd be nice to maybe just hear that one more time.
Yeah.
Because I know it was sort of in flux there. Yeah, thank you.
Such graphics were powerful. I thought that was very well done. It's just like very intuitive. And also, I really think it's a good idea to have your consultants report. I mean, it's just like very often people don't have time to review, and there is an amazing amount of knowledge gained through these studies, and it's better if it's fully shared. And so reports to the board can both enhance the knowledge base of the board and also the public, and kind of part of, like, you know, getting more value from it. So people recognize it, and then maybe, you know, people will either recognize those documents as resources or at least expand their understanding of the Bay and all the processes we're in the middle of. So I think that's a good idea.
Thanks, Pat. Any other comments? Any comments or anybody wish to speak from the audience? Please, maybe.
Hi, I'm Vivian Hallowell of a local fishing family. Is it possible to put a picture up on the screen? Okay. I'll just hand this out for the audience and the board to look at. This is a picture that I believe Rob has in his office. And it's a foreshortened view looking toward the land front. It's National Geographic graphic of the continental shelf where it drops off to the abyss. So the shelf is about 20 miles wide, 20 to 30 miles wide. And the Cascadia subduction trench looks deep there, but it's about 2 miles deep, straight down. So we're right here at Eureka. We're right at the triple junction of three major faults and plates, tectonic plates moving. Is it possible to show this on the screen?
If you pulled it up, the camera, we'll see that camera right behind the turbine.
I don't know where the camera is.
Okay.
outscribed it. Give me a. I'm fascinated by these graphics.
Can you show that on the
camera? I'll see. I think I'm tall enough.
So,
are we there? Is it resolving?
Oh, yeah. And right near that cleft in the bottom of it is just south of Eureka, where the Gorda Ridge comes ashore under water. And the whole thing is called the Cascadia Megathrust and is subject to shifting. The little yellow spots are volcanoes that are less than 2 million years old, including Mount St. Helens up on the Cascade Mountains there. That was pretty good, Pat. There you go.
It's a shoulder workout.
Now I can see it, so I'm in. Keep going.
Okay. Anyway, that's where the, right at the edge of the shelf there, tiny little shelf along the top, is where the wind towers are planned to be anchored in the Pacific Ocean, right where the upwelling comes up that feeds all the creatures that live up on the coastal shelf. And
pink in my neck.
Thank you, Pat. What I'm wondering is, you know, so we're having a shift in focus of our national agenda. Is the heavy lift terminal ready and willing to service offshore oil, which may be the next focus of our national agenda? And I know we want to have jobs and everything, but this is a, you know, draft environmental impact for lease sale 91, 1987. There were hearings in Eureka and Fort Bragg that went on for days.
3 days in Fort Bragg.
3 days until instigators showed up and shut down the process. And California legislators passed an ocean sanctuary bill to keep offshore oil from being piped ashore from offshore drilling, at least in the northern two-thirds of the state. Now, we know in Southern California what a mess the drilling has made at times, and it's very hard to clean that up. So our precious natural resources here on the coast that are so vibrant and feed our fishing and tourism industries, we want to protect them. It's a lot cheaper to protect them than it is to try to clean up a mess. Okay, you want me to finish up?
Yes, please.
So basically, my question to you all to ask yourselves, with this heavy lift terminal, are you willing to shift towards serving offshore oil next? Or what are you going to do with the thing? So I'm just going to leave it at that. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. All right. David, would you like to speak? Please.
David Hellowell, fishing vessel corregidor. I just want to bring up again, as I have before, that for the fishing industry to survive in this port, we have to be able to come and go as we please. So if we, there's going to be a lot of dredging going on. The per cubic yard price is going to be as cheap as it ever gets if you've got that much going on. And that's the time to dredge a dedicated small boat channel so that the fishing fleet can continue to operate while these big deals are going on all around. Thanks.
Have you been able to start doing our own dredging as one of the highest orders of business? And I hope that as we go forward, the district will be empowered in that regard.
Hi, I'm Bill Rich. I live in Eureka. My wife with Mad River Slough Shellfish Nursery. I have been participating in the focused monthly or near monthly meetings with the district here for shellfish. You know, it's not just shellfish businesses that are participating at this point. It's actually mostly federal, state, and other industry experts. And it's really enlightening to have everybody there. We had 26 people at the last meeting. It has spurred the state disease health committee from California CDFW to be involved and to instigate a subcommittee here in Humboldt Bay. I encourage you to look at the caliber of people participating in the subcommittee, and you might be surprised to see who's there. So I've been participating in those meetings. Thank you to your staff for putting those on. You know, and I just want to say, you know, maybe the joke's on Kim and I for 2.5 years of permitting. I'm worried. I'm nervous, guys. Some of the words that I'm hearing in our meetings from these disease experts are catastrophic. Widespread failure of the seed industry on the West Coast. This is not a Humboldt Bay issue. If we are unable to produce and export shellfish seed from Humboldt Bay, this is a problem for the entire West Coast fishery. These are not words that, this is not my opinion. These are coming from CDFW disease experts. I really like the idea of having some presenters come so that the decision makers, you guys, can hear from those experts. I am not an expert in this. I'm just a new kid on the block that is hearing really scary words from these experts when my wife and I are trying to pour our heart and soul into this clam and oyster nursery. So I will continue to go to these meetings and maybe enlighten you on what I see at those meetings here at these monthly, if that's okay. But I really think that your staff is on the right move with us, and we'll continue to support that and maybe perhaps one or more of these commissioners can participate in our monthly meetings as well, so that you can hear what we're all hearing. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Anyone? Please,
yes. Hi, Jennifer Cult with Humboldt Waterkeeper. You probably heard about the introduction of the golden mussel in Stockton. Did you hear about this? A new invasive species was recently introduced to the port of Stockton. It's from Asia, I believe, and it has similar effects to the environment as the New Zealand. What is it called? The zebra. Those two things, yeah. So, I mean, this is a really serious concern, invasive species introduction, but also the disease introduction. You know, we know the oyster seed industry has grown massively here in Humboldt Bay because in the last 10 years, they're having such issues with ocean acidification in Oregon and Washington. And so the whole West Coast is reliant on, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but, you know, the whole West Coast is reliant on the oyster seed coming from Humboldt Bay. And my understanding is that the ballast water rules that are in effect, I think they started with this Harbor Commission and then were adopted across the state. But the problem is that the vessels going along the coast, not coming in from international waters, there's no regulation. And so all it would take is one vessel with an oyster disease to destroy this industry that's been built for all these years. And the invasive species introduction potential is really huge. So I agree with what the previous speaker said. It would be really great for you to be hearing about this. The Coastal Commission heard about this a little bit, but didn't really deal with it in the consistency determination on the BOEM, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management's environmental assessment for site assessment activities. So right now there's vessels, you know, we had one coming this year, this summer from Washington to do the surveys for RWE in the federal lease areas. There's no regs on that, or there's regs that are not being enforced. So the disease transmission potential is very real, and we need to, it's a problem right now, not just when the ocean, when the offshore wind projects get started. So, yeah, I really encourage you to take that super seriously. Thank you.
Anyone else care to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to move on. That's just an informational update. Thank you all for that. That was awesome. Thank you all for speaking. We're going to go to new business. We're going to consider adopting Resolution 2024-10, a resolution commending Patrick Higgins for his service as Commissioner of Humboldt Bay, of the Humboldt Bay Harbor District. Chris, you want to take it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We need a motion.
So move.
Second.
So, yes, this resolution brings forward the recognition of Commissioner Higgins' work. He joined the district in 2007. It was fun with Mindy researching your time here. I want to give a lot of call out to Mindy and the commissioners that participated in this. It was a fun piece to review and a fun piece to participate in. I think most notably, and one of the things we wrote in the...
I'm having recovered memories reading all this stuff.
Just in writing the staff report, you know, I think one of the things that we have to note is the way that you've been able to tie your love of Mother Earth with incubating business, right? And it takes a special soul to be able to do that. I've had the luxury of working with you on the Humboldt Bay Development Association, where we've spurred some pretty cool stuff here and created a lot of jobs. And it's a fine line when you protect where we are, just as our speakers have shared, and where we want to go. And so finding that balance is very difficult. So, you know, a little inspiring there, Pat. Are you asking me to read this resolution, sir, or are you reading?
I'll read it.
Perfect.
I would love to read it. I'm going to read the resolution and then we'll discuss. Is that okay?
All right. Everybody. Then you do the roast, right? First you do the toast and then you do the roast.
Most of the things I have to say about you can't be said in public. At least not without it with a clear conscience. So, Resolution 2024-10 is a resolution commending Patrick Higgins for his service as Commissioner of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. And you have constantly reminded us of that, that it is not just a harbor, but a recreation and conservation district. So, and you know my feelings about whereases, and I thought that they kept them to a minimum. Whereas Patrick Higgins was elected by the voters of the 5th Division on November 6, 2007 to a second term, and to a second term on November 8th, 2011, third term, November 3rd, 2015, and a fourth term, November 5th, 2019, all before I was born. Patrick Higgins chose to retire his seat and not run for re-election in 2024. And whereas Patrick Higgins served in various offices of the Harbor District, including its president in 2016, vice president in 2014, 2015, secretary in 2012, 13, 17, 18, 20, and 21. And whereas Patrick served honorably on board commissioner ad hoc and standing committees, including the executive search and CE selection committees, economic development advisory committee, steering committee for the Humboldt Bay Symposium, budget committee, long-term sediment management ad hoc committee addressing long-term sediment management addressing climate change and sea level rise. Rob wrote that. Redwood Region Economic Development Committee, the Redwood Marine Terminal Advisory Committee, the Mariculture Pre-Permitting Project Committee, the Union Negotiating Committee, the Humboldt Bay Development Association, Ordinance Number 7, implementing certain portions of the Humboldt Bay Master Plan Subcommittee, the Dredging Ad Hoc Committee, Shelter Cove and Resort Improvement Ad Hoc Committee, and whereas Patrick represented the Harbor District and Humboldt County in many areas, including the North Coast Local Agency Coastal Coordination Committee, Explore the North Coast, Eel River Trails Association, worked on the Collaborative Fisheries Venture benefiting the Marine Life Protection Act, and worked with the Pacific Fisheries Management Council Timber Heritage Association, Humboldt Bay Harbor Working Meetings, was active in Harbor District Strategic Plan meetings, attended Citizens for Prosperity and meetings, and monitoring enterprise-related meetings, attended Humboldt Bay Action Plan meetings, was involved with Rails to Trails, and whereas Patrick dedicated efforts to improve Humboldt by being an early advocate for addressing sea level rise, was actively involved in the Marine Life Protection Act, met with tribes on the Klamath River Dam Removal Project, attended conferences on Klamath River water quality, and started working on the Humboldt Bay Power Plant decommissioning in the 70s. And whereas Patrick Higgins met with representatives from the Timber Heritage Association regarding the ERTN on the Samoa Shops Complex and worked on the grant for the Shelter Cove Fish Cleaning Station. And whereas Patrick dedicated time and energy to protect wildlife, improve habitat, and remove invasive species in the Woodley Island Wildlife Area. And whereas Patrick Higgins was a part of the Harbor District team that negotiated the purchase of the freshwater tissue company pulp mill, later named Redwood Marine Terminal 2, affected the cleanup of the Redwood Terminal 2 property, avoiding a potential catastrophe event for Humboldt Bay, whereby allowing economic development and the creation of jobs, all while representing former mill workers, having himself worked at the pulp mill for nearly 30 years. I think that was
Richard Marks.
You just curious about that one. That got copied in the
But face. you now it set up here.
Could have been in a past life.
Okay, we'll probably edit that one out.
What was your job
there? Curmudgeon. Whereas Patrick was a vital part of the Harbor District team that led the way for Port of Humboldt Bay to emerge as a West Coast leader in supporting offshore wind with a pending development of the Humboldt Multipurpose Heavy Lift Marine Terminal. And whereas Patrick Higgins fulfilled his duties of office with passion, knowledge, and consideration, Patrick Higgins became a friend, a mentor, and a respected colleague. And whereas Patrick Higgins cannot be mentioned without acknowledging his love of sport fishing and his tireless dedication to the Eel River Recovery Project. And whereas Patrick Higgins has left a lasting legacy with numerous positive accomplishments in and around Humboldt Bay, and Uncle Pat will be sorely missed. Now, therefore, the Board of Commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District does hereby resolve as follows: that commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District do hereby express our heartfelt appreciation for the best efforts and contributions of Patrick Higgins as a commissioner, and herein wish him the best in all his future endeavors. I have a motion and a second. I have read the resolution. I would take comments from the board.
I'm speechless.
You're not getting the time.
As the second on the motion, I would be willing to, if the first is willing to keep all of this as written, except for the ninth whereas paragraph on page two, just deleting all while representing former mill workers, having himself worked at the pulp mill for nearly 30 years. Just that sentence.
Was he the guy that in charge of the pulping liquors?
That one must have got in from Richards.
Yeah, that was left over from Richards.
Just that.
The motion maker would accept that change. Okay.
Comments?
It's been quite a party, Uncle Pat. And I hope you call him anytime to help you in your endeavors, and don't ever be a stranger.
Thank you, Aaron. It's mutual.
So, the commission won't be the same without you.
I think that's Stephen. Diplomatic, but something in there.
There's something in there. No, we've worked together and crossed paths in many ways on the Eel River to Humboldt Bay, and it's
It's always been exciting, and the passion that you have for the work that you do is undeniable. So really appreciate that. You're out there doing the good work and doing the good fight and letting everybody know what, you know, could be a good vision for the future of our waterways. So thanks for everything that you do.
Thanks, Stephen, very much.
Pat, I just want to thank you for being the institutional memory of this as a relatively still or the newish board member. It's been nice to always be able to benefit. What I'd like to just read from the new business item 11A, I just underlined four things: unwavering, tireless love, and ability to connect. It just sort of summed it up. Just how much energy you put into this and other communities. And that energy goes on and on and on in many manifestations that you don't even know, Pat. You have no idea the impact of your work here and elsewhere. And it's not in your, you're not ever going to know that, but just have faith that it's been impactful. And I really appreciated working with you.
Thank you. You know, when, I got elected, Mike Wilson, even though he was younger than me, said I was the youth movement in 2007. So I always like that. I didn't mean to step on you, Greg.
Yeah, you are. That's goes without saying.
At this point, you should just admit to meaning it.
Just own it. Just own it. Yeah. Pat, I knew of you long before I knew you. Okay, and my first interaction with you personally was on the Humboldt Bay Management Plan development. And you were a stakeholder, and we attended these meetings, endless meetings, over the course of maybe 2 years. I don't think we were on the same stakeholder group, but we interacted as stakeholders with each other over that time. And there was that was prior to you becoming a commissioner. That's correct, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And long before I was a commissioner. And I thoroughly enjoyed your passion at that point. Okay.
It was pretty unbridled at that point.
It was, yeah. there was not a lot of control. I will say that. And then the contempt from some, from a certain constituency, commissioners, all of the above. And the fact that a lot of your input had a lot to do with the development of that plan, and your passion for it made that plan become a reality and made that plan become a CEQA document that was approved by this board, all right? And I thought that was huge. Then next came the strategic plan and the Humboldt Bay Symposium. Enjoyed watching you in those categories. But what really hit home for me as a new commissioner, and it was an ugly scene your first year or two on the board, right?
Oh yeah.
And that was before
Patty Wilson told me, Pat, if you just slow down a little bit, maybe somebody could catch up with you.
I didn't come to all the meetings, but I came to enough to get the gist of it. And I will say you were first and foremost saying we have to quit spending money like drunk sailors. We don't have the revenues to do what we're doing. And we all kind of sat in the audience like you guys are tonight and thought, crazy Pat, you know, crazy Pat. I got on the board and my first budget meeting was with you. And it was pretty obvious that we were running this ship into the dirt. And there was nowhere but down to go if we kept going like we were going. And Pat had been saying it for a long time, and it finally took heat. Everybody kind of took heed to it and started changing our path. And I think that in itself is absolutely, in my mind, your biggest accomplishment on this board, and there's been some other really big ones. I will say, from my perspective, one of my favorite times and one of the most nerve-wracking times was when we went through the Redwood Terminal 2 process. And when that started and we all kind of really were getting our feet around it, our hands around it, sorry. It was very nerve-wracking for some of us who are a little bit more conservative to have an absolutist. I mean, someone who absolutely, this is the right thing to do. We're going to do it. You can't walk away from this. And there's a certain value in having that on your board. Okay. We all give them a hard time. We all,
now that I got white hair, a lot less.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of it came from this board. I guarantee that. But I can tell you right now, the value in your resolute, your resolution in accomplishing that goal was huge, not just to Mike and Aaron and myself, but to the staff. I mean, there was a lot of people here that told us we were nuts for getting that. And you just, I mean, I can't tell you how many times. I'm sure we can watch it on TV because you're also very involved in making sure that we are on TV. That's all Patrick. And I have the face for radio. I apologize. I thank you for that. I thank you for that, Pat. And I want to go one more. I'll say one more thing. And I went through you and I went through an election cycle together a few years back. It was a rough one. And I became very close with you and your wife. And I adore your wife. She's a pain in the ass just like you are. Sorry, I'm not supposed to say things like that. But she is one of the most endearing and adorable people I've ever met. And I enjoy her. And I see she puts up with you and you put up with her. And it works, and it's lovely, and I love that about you. I also got to meet some of your friends during that process, who I also adore and consider my friends now. And I consider you my friend. And I...
my friend. There we go. I'll mess your jokes. Even if they were at my expense.
Well,
here's a joke, though. And my wife's... the quote from my wife that she probably never said, but one of the reasons she's my best friend, it's like, Pat, take some helium out of the balloon there. Nobody else is up there, man. I've always been a dreamer, but then, you know, visualize, verbalize, realize, you lock on something. And, you know, I think my greatest contribution was the Economic Development Committee in 2008 here in this room, when it was obvious that things were changing radically and everybody came to the meeting. So all the pillars of the business community and those who did business, you know, like oystermen and fishermen. And we laid out a vision that was diversification of the district's business. And if you look at that, that's kind of what we've done. And diversity is stability, both in ecology and economy. And so that is something to be mindful of as we go forward. There's these big giant things, but then there's the everyday opportunities that serve the people around the bay and that where we play a vital role that nobody else is playing. So it's been a pleasure to serve on this district. I think that, you know, pound for pound, my investment here has brought more of benefit and good, but you know, support chair of Redwood Community Actions Agency for a decade. That's a runner up. And but it's been a privilege. And I really do think, though, that it's good every once in a while to get a new influx of energy. So I welcome that. I reviewed the statements of both commissioners that were running, and they're both qualified and will be professional colleagues here, you know, at the elected. I think it's Mr. Norton. But I mean, so I feel like the board is solid. You're in sync with staff. And so it kind of takes vigilance because it's not, you know, everything is always in flux. But we made a lot of really good decisions and we showed courage in the pulp mill. And now we have helped diversify the economy. And there's still a lot of upside potential. You know, that's another reason I'd like to see new energy in the board and in the Humboldt Bay Development Association, because we're not done on the peninsula. I mean, apart from wind and apart from Nordic, there's still a whole world of opportunity. And my head's in the eel, you know, not enough here. And so I'm more than happy to let someone else come into my chair, and hopefully they bring a lot with them to, you know, dedication to the district's business and helps you guys, you know, to stay on, you know, stay out in front of things and make the appropriate business decisions.
This is a lot like a stereo business, right? Mm-hmm. There'll be nobody saying that in this board anymore, just so we're clear. But I'm going to turn you down now.
Thank you, Dave, for your license up to now.
I
was the worst chair in the last 20 years. I'll just say that flat out. I wasn't cut out to be the chair, and Greg has done a remarkable job as a chair.
Well, I think
Richard Marks before.
Well, I'm going to take it to the audience. Anybody care to speak?
I'm Todd Van Herp, Humboldt Bay Oyster Company, Eureka resident. But when I first met Pat, I lived in McKinleyville, and he was my representative. Mr. Benson is now my, I'm in your district. I just wanted to be here and thank you for your decades of service to the community and to our bay. You may not remember, but my first interaction with you was back in the early 90s. I was a student at Humboldt getting my fisheries and aquaculture degree, and this bundle of energy had me surveying fish down on the eel, and I understand your passion for that system, and it was infectious. So thank you for that as well. You've always been someone that's accessible and approachable, and appreciate that about you. You several times have reached out to me and asked my opinion about things, or asked how I've been doing with the company and things like that. And that's very much appreciated. That sort of advocacy for the people and your place is going to be missed. And I just wanted to make sure that I was here to thank you on your last meeting, and your seat will be filled by another commissioner, but you will certainly leave a void. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else care to speak on this resolution? Seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the board, and it's a roll call.
It is.
So,
can we say Kafka instead of yes?
I'll miss that adjective, Kafka-esque, related to biology.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Does Commissioner Higgins get to vote on this one?
He does.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yeah.
That was the joke. And President Dale?
I'm going to say present for the first time in my career. Is that the term you use, present? present.
I mean, yes. But that's an abstention, I think. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
It's a yes vote.
Maybe not. Maybe I just want to.
Maybe just present. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Higgins.
Mull it over a little
so
bit.
So 4.5-4, right?
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. All right, now back to our agenda. Consider adopting Resolution 2024-11, a resolution authorizing the submission of a California Energy Commission Waterfront Facility Improvement Program grant for the Humboldt Bay Offshore Wind Heavy Lift Marine Terminal, Enhanced Technical Studies and Public Engagement
project.
So move.
Second.
Staff recommends adopting the resolution which authorizes to submit the grant application and authorize the executive director to sign a letter of commitment to the California Energy Commission. I showed you this before. I just want to drill on this particular grant. This is the one that we're talking about. I showed you this graphic. So just breaking that down, we're planning on using this for additional studies, reports, permits, CEQA, enhanced public engagement, tribal capacity building, and maybe community benefit program. So just looking at these one at a time, we've got extra visual simulations, noise studies, and other studies. We have done a sufficient number of visual simulations and noise studies to satisfy CEQA, but multiple public groups, community groups are asking for more. And so we want to do more. And so that is built into this. We should do more geotech and dredge sampling. Taking our vessel maneuvering analysis, which we're already budgeted and scoped for, but take it to the next level for a full bridge simulation, which I can explain if you want. Enhanced hydrodynamic analyses, also at the request of several stakeholders. There's a lot of enhanced public engagement built into this grant application. New audiovisual materials, facilitation, listening sessions, tabling, there's a lot built into the grant application, including stipends for public members that want to participate in the project. There's a good chunk of budget built in for tribal capacity building, which also includes stipends, additional facilitated meetings with tribes and stipends. And then if you recall, the INFRA grant has $6 million for the Harbor District to administer a community benefit program where we would issue mini grants to tribal members, fishermen and aquaculture businesses and residents of the Smoak Peninsula that are impacted by the project for things that they want to do. So we've been saying that that is seed money. And so looking for this grant program to contribute to that program. So just for some background, what is this thing? This is the California Energy Commission Offshore Wind Waterfront Facilities Improvement Program. It's a total of $45 million that was issued to the state, to the California Energy Commission, exclusively for ports that are doing offshore wind terminals. There's two chunks to the grant program, one for staging integration ports where the bulk of the money is, and one for other ports that are doing manufacturing. So this is their website if you want to learn more about it. They issued an addendum on this past Friday after the release of the agenda. So there's a couple of things I need to fix from the staff report. So it says that the grant is due on November 22nd, but that's been changed to December 20th. Says that the ceiling that we can apply for is $27 million, but this addendum changed it to $20 million. There was some discussion there of eligibility, who can apply for the chunk of grant that we're applying for, and that's been modified, but we're still eligible. And the tasks primarily consist of closing gaps in our advanced design, adding those technical studies at the request of interested parties, enhancing tribal engagement, and enhancing community engagement. So here's a comprehensive list of what we're currently working on for the scope for the grant application. Back to that if you want. Just realize that everything in green there, we are already doing, and it is a mandatory component of the grant. So we are doing more of that than we already were because those are mandatory components of the grant.
What's a bridge? Tell me about the bridge.
Bridge simulation?
Yeah.
It's there's a couple in the country. The one that we would use is in Seattle. It is a room full of monitors, and you know it's meant to emulate the bridge of a large ship.
Okay.
And then they build in 3D models, real time models of Humboldt Bay. So it's like a flight simulator, but it's a ship simulator for an 800-foot long ship that's towing a 1,000-foot tall turbine. So they will go through literal real time towing of the units over and over again in different scenarios. So high tide, low tide, storms coming in, unexpected scenarios. So we'll actually use our pilots and our consulting team to go to the facility and simulate tow outs.
Nice. Thank you.
So staff recommends adopting the resolution.
Motion and second. I have a motion and second, right?
Yes. You.
Mr. Newman.
I think it's another step along our trail here. Yeah, all for it.
Same. Thank you for the continued work both before and after the solicitation was announced. And a lot of this goes to like not just applying for the grant, but the work that we do with our state partners and other port partners prior to these solicitations being announced. So a lot went into this. So thank you.
Yeah, Rob. I've known a lot of grant writers in my life and been one myself. And I know it's a team, but it usually funnels through the eye of a particular needle, and that's you in this case. And you know, this track record that you have and that the district has partly because of your ability and your expertise at this is quite remarkable. And you know, there's very few people at some point we're gonna count up the millions. And you're going to be up there pretty high on a list of people that I've met in my life been able to capture that much money in their career.
A billion.
Yeah.
I won't be happy till it's a billion.
Okay. Glad to hear it. Yes. This is a no-brainer.
Patrick?
It's a logical extension of what we've been doing.
I find it interesting that we take it so calmly today that we are applying and we'll probably receive a grant of this magnitude and doesn't even really phase us. And I think it should phase us. Pretty big investment in our community, pretty big investment in this energy strategy. And I think the state and our community is thinking about it in the right direction, in the right way. So thanks, Rob. Thanks for that. And I'll take it to the audience, please. Anyone care to speak on this?
Todd Van Herp, Humboldt Bay Oyster Company. I don't know if this is appropriate time for this, but I'd like to also echo some of the public comments earlier regarding the disease committee on this project. And I think that some focus should be directed towards that and taken more seriously than it has been. There's a ballast water control or exchange program that the district has. I think that dusting that off and getting into that and directing more attention to that is something that should be a line item, maybe in green on this.
Security policy.
Okay, very good. And it's been brought up in some meetings that the knowledge about the ballast water exchange program is a little lean. I'm not sure that I've seen it in years, but I think that that's really deserves, very deserving of some attention. And we haven't been as guarded in that respect as I think we ought to. Diseases, invasive species, it could be that we've got some and we just don't know that they're there. It's not because we've been vigilant and doing our best at keeping those things at bay. Maybe we just got lucky, but with the increased boat traffic shipping from all over the world that this thing's going to bring, I think we got to get really serious about it. And as it continues to rain money, I know that that's no accident that money is raining, but let's capture some of that and funnel it towards some of these programs that's going to protect our bay, protect our industry, the existing industries and the future industries that could be otherwise. You know, this could be a really big mistake. So let's take a portion of that and direct it towards protecting our bay. Thanks.
Hello again. Along the same lines, I'm not sure what analysis of widening the federal navigation channel would entail, but
I humble water keeper would like to see it not only be a feasibility study, but also looking at the impacts of doing that sort of dredging as far as erosion and increases in turbidity and all the impacts of the dredging, not just whether it's feasible or not. Thanks.
Hello again, Vivian Hellowell. Briefly, I remain skeptical that I know this board is on a roll about this project, a big roll, and there's a lot of inertia behind it. I remain skeptical that this offshore wind project that's supposed to develop to support this heavy lift terminal is going to pencil out. There are a lot of hazards that have to be addressed. It's not clear, you know, if you read our scoping comments of Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Association and Institute for Fisheries Resources, we have asked many questions about the feasibility of even getting platforms around that corner. But it's not clear to me that that's going to end up being the commerce that this heavy lift terminal will be wanting to support. And it's not clear to me what commerce will be there to support, and that this bay will remain the pristine, beautiful place that we've all come to enjoy. So I just want you to think carefully about how fast and far this is going, and pay attention to what's coming our way in terms of changes in the support for green energy, and how whether this offshore wind that would support this heavy lift terminal is going to be cost effective as a way of producing the energy that that AI and everybody else driving cars is going to want. So thank you for listening.
Any other comments on this? Seeing none, want to bring it back? Any more comments from the board?
I just comment, I do think we should put ballast water on the radar.
Yeah, okay. I think that's not a bad idea. There's a lot of, I think Rob's got a lot of stuff going on to address some of these issues, but I don't have a problem with ballast water being bumped up the list.
Speak up.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Vivian. I think ballast water should be the attention to ballast water needs to be increased. All right. I'll refrain from talking, but I think that one of the strengths of promoting this industry is probably the largest threat to fisheries and to aquaculture, the shellfish culture on the West Coast, is climate change, carbon in the atmosphere. And this is designed imperatively. David, would you like to speak?
It's kind of like controlling fire. One mistake, done.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a resolution as well.
Commissioner Benson?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
And President Benson. Yeah. Or excuse me, President Dale. Forgive
yes. me. All right, moving on to C. Consider adopting another resolution. Resolution 2024-12, a resolution establishing findings relative to and improving Harbor District Permit 2024-4 with conditions for the Humboldt Bay Regional Spartina Eradication Plan continued implementation.
Vanessa will be presenting.
Oh. Take it away, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Oh, you don't get to go yet.
Thanks for coming.
Right, Matt.
So this permit is for the continued implementation of the Humboldt Bay Regional Spartina Eradication Plan. And it's a new district permit for continuation of project activities related to implementing the plan. The regional plan was adopted back in 2012 or 2013 and has been being implemented since then. Successfully implemented in tidal marshes and mudflats around Humboldt Bay, the Eel River Estuary, and Mad River Estuary. And the removal of spartina is critical for preserving natural native biodiversity, preventing further habitat degradation, and protecting foraging areas for shorebirds and waterfowl. So there are many project partners throughout the life of this project, local, state, and federal agencies. This is just a sample that the district coordinates with and works with for the various projects that are implemented throughout the Bay. The Spartina eradication projects do use a variety of treatments, including weed whackers, brush cutters, the Marshmaster, which people may have seen out there on Tulalip more recently. And it does require several treatment stages. So there are different types of treatment at different locations based on topography and different site conditions. And each of the treatment areas have site-specific plans prepared for them. And the site-specific plans go into the treatment methods, the restoration, and implement all of the mitigation measures that were defined in the final program environmental impact report. There is a coastal development permit that has conditions related to site-specific plans. So all of those things are implemented for each project site. And this is just an example of kind of what goes into those site-specific plans, the site description, conditions, the methods, treatment approach, monitoring, and reporting. And so the ongoing project activities are what will be permitted with this permit, and the CDP, which is coming up for renewal next year. So the district will be coordinating with other stakeholders and agencies to get a new CDP for this project as well. And all of the project application materials are posted on the district's website, including the regional eradication plan, the program EIR, and the Harbor District application. And staff recommendation is to approve this permit. I'm happy to answer your questions.
I don't believe you. I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution 2024-12.
Second.
A motion and a second. Discussion?
Thank you, Vanessa, for just a quick update on that project, and especially the CEQA piece of it. So the CDP, I understand from your presentation, is going to have to renew that next year, and then are we going to need a supplemental EIR at some point soon, because the programmatic EIR is starting to age out?
And I guess that's to be determined if the project activities haven't changed since the EIR was prepared. So it really depends on if there are new activities that are being proposed or different conditions, site conditions that would require that. Go ahead, Rob.
A general plan is a programmatic EIR, and they last for 20 years. So if nothing's changed fundamentally, it doesn't need to be renewed.
I was hoping that was going to be the answer, and I was expecting that, but I just wanted to ask it in case we have to start budgeting and thinking and planning for that. But it sounds like we're okay. All right.
So Vanessa, the there in the development of the original plan, herbicides were considered. Mm-hmm. The CEQA document, I think, approved.
It did.
Herbicides. There's still no plan to use herbicides, correct?
As far as I know, it's on a site-specific basis. I don't know if Robert Chris, you have
that is not a method other. That's being
used. Yeah, it's not being used currently.
It could be, right, according to the EIR, but you'd have to go through a site-specific plan and get approval from the Coastal Commission, and that's hard to imagine.
Okay.
There will be potentially requests for some site-specific changes because we're having some challenges at the current site, Tulawan Island. So we don't know. We may have to change our program overall. And Vanessa will be, you know, we've been talking, we'll be commencing the greater team that developed the programmatic EIR. We're going to involve those parties and take a look at this. There are some requests from the contractor, Railroad Community Action Agency, for some considerable changes. Hopefully we don't have to do that, but.
So meaningful changes?
We're commencing that now. We could get into details if you want to. These are specific to the site that we're on, but one of the methods that's happening is a lot of this removal happens adjacent channels and water, and we can only get so close to the water in the methods, and the methods are not proving to be successful. So there's a significant request potentially for change there. So we don't quite know what that's going to bring. We'd like to keep everything exactly as it is so we can get our permit renewed without too much. But to answer your question a little bit further, we're having some challenges on Tulawat right now because of those restrictions.
I'm wondering, when's the last actual Bay-wide evaluation been done on the efficacy of this work? Like, are we making progress? And, you know, and I've been involved. I think the first time we met was over Spartina eradication, right? So back a lot, many, many years ago. So, and it seems that, you know, it seems like there has been progress, but it has to be maintained and retreated so often. So has there been any comprehensive studies or evaluations done to your knowledge recently?
Not that I'm aware of, but I meet with regulatory agencies about this topic often, and we try to use Spartina removal as mitigation. And there's a lot of opinions on this. But what I can tell you from what I'm learning is that if we don't do something, Spartina is going to effectively take over the entire bay. So every little project helps. And even if we do a small amount of eradication for only 7 years, that's 7 years that spot's got native species and create a seed bank. And so the more Spartina projects we can do, the better. But, you know, I kind of calculated forwards, you know, if you look at Tulawat Island and how much it's costing to mitigate or to eradicate Spartina from the island, and you look at all of the Spartina in the bay and scale up the cost, you're talking $60, $80 million to eradicate from the entire bay. And then you've got the Eel River as a seed source that's just going to populate the bay again. Hmm. There's, you know, I think Baykeeper, Waterkeeper's far more of an expert on this than I am. But we have to keep trying.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to state that it's just a futile effort, but it would just be really interesting to see, because I'm not aware of any study, just a comprehensive study, are we making any progress? I hope so. I don't know. Yeah.
If the board ever wants, I mean, this is something that I research and present on quite often, looking at Grays Harbor, Willapa Bay, San Francisco Bay Estuary, and Humboldt Bay, and have been a practitioner of Spartina removal for more than a decade. I can easily provide a presentation just for education for this group, just about Spartina, why it's here, where it comes from, what its trajectory is ecologically, and what the efficacy of treatment has been so far. I have that information.
I would like to see that.
February?
February's fine. And we can all be grateful that we don't have alternate flora here.
Right.
So, I would like to schedule that. Let's get him up here making his money.
We just did.
Okay. I think it's a worthwhile cause. I personally have watched what Alternative Flora did to Willapa Bay and the Grays Harbor, and I know what they did to get rid of it there was spray it, aerial sprayed it.
I'm not sure that's what we want to see here or if they ever will use that here. Densiflora is not the same animal that our alterniflora is, but it's still doing the same basic thing, just a lot slower. You see a little, you'll see a clump of it. And if you've ever tried to go dig something up that doesn't want to be dug up, Spartina is one of those plants that you cannot dig it up. It's you have a 5 gallon bucket size a plot of Spartina in the middle of mudflat. You think you put 10 guys and shovels out there and go dig it up and haul it away? Not in three or four tides, you're not going to do it. So I'm always amazed at the work that's being done to get rid of it, and if there is any success, I'm flabbergasted. But I do think it's something that is worthwhile to do. And I do think that we just need to keep after it. And we knew 15 years ago when they started doing it that it was going to take 50 years and hundreds of millions of dollars. They need 10 of those marsh masters, not one of them. But
we're operating two right now on Tulawat, most opportunities. One just mows, the other one has the tiller feature on it as well. And they continue to add personnel just to get ahead and keep the calendar moving. We did see a lot of progress on the north side with a native species coming right back, native vegetation, that is. And that was very encouraging. Now we're going through a whole cycle, a whole season, and we'll see what we have in spring of next year.
I think you put 20 high school kids out there, marsh masters, and just let them go.
I think we have 32 post-high school kids out there, so good call. With weed whackers, but yeah.
All right. Any comments? Did I already go to the audience on this?
Not yet.
All right. No comments from the audience? Good. Bring it back for a vote. This is a resolution, so another vote call.
Okay. Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Commissioner Benson.
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
And President Dale.
Yes. Future agenda items. Anybody aside from Craig's Spartina presentation?
There's a few on the agenda there.
ITP for long fin smelt. Green light for dredging.
I guess I'm going to be the one saying that from now on, huh?
Somebody else is going to have to take up that honk.
I will do that now. Okay. I am going to adjourn this meeting. Thank you all for coming. Have a good evening and a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy your families.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's an eight tomorrow.
Man. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, I moved on my calendar.
Thank you for all you do.
On your first campaign.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. What a force. Just Pat goes.